Now, I invite you to turn this morning to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, we shall begin our reading at verse 13. In the will of the Lord, I'm going to be attending Founders Week at Moody Bible Institute, which is the first week of February. And that means I'll be away on the Lord's Day, the 7th. Our brother Max Mills is going to be here ministering the Word of God. And I said to him, there's a sermon he can't preach. I want him to preach it when I'm here. We sat together a few weeks ago, Brother David Morris and Brother Max and myself. We met together in High Point. And Max understands the Old Testament Passover. What the Lord told the children of Israel that they're to keep it. And when your children in time to come say, what mean you by this service? That they're to tell them. And Max understands the various cups and the way in which it was used. And he explained part of that to David and myself. And if you explain that to a Jew, if you ever heard the gospel, what is done in a Jewish household every time that they have the Passover and how they miss the person of Christ, I'll never know. For the person of Christ is so beautifully portrayed. And I told Max, I want him to come back when I'm here. And I want him to speak on the Passover and explain just how the Passover, as it was enacted in a Jewish home, portrayed the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He showed it, he told me, to a Jewish man in Florida. He said, there it is. He couldn't get over. He said, I missed it all my life. Oh, beloved, we have a great area. And we have a great Savior. And while Max is going to be with you, he won't be speaking on that. If he does, well, I'll just have to listen to the tape. But I prefer listening to a person face to face, to get the facial expressions and the way they use their hands and everything else. Anyway, we're in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget you. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee, as a bride doeth. Now may the Lord bless his word. Our text this morning is verse 16. Just the half of the verse, it says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the infinite comfort that is provided in the words of Holy Scripture. We thank you that in its primary sense, this has reference to Israel. But we rejoice, our God, that it has reference to all thy people, all those who know thee with a true heart. And now as we study together, may thy grace, thy mercy, and thy peace be multiplied toward thy redeemed own here, that that infinite comfort of this text may that be the portion of each one who's gathered. And we'll thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Behold, he says, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Now, we often sing hymn number 2 in our worship hymn book that we use at the Lord's Supper. We sing it at the Lord's Supper. Top Lady wrote the hymn, "My name from the palms of his hands, eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart it remains, in marks of indelible grace. Yes, I to the end shall endure, just as sure as the earnest is given. More blessed but not more secure are the souls of the blessed in heaven." Now, this, along with all the other promises of God, our text, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands," it teaches us that the promises of God will never be broken in respect to any of his people. Now, while this text has primary reference to the nation of Israel, and God's bringing them back into fellowship with himself and blessing them when they receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah, this is a glorious promise for Israel. But we must remember, beloved, that Israel is a beautiful type of the church. And therefore, it is true of all God's people. This text belongs to all the people of God. "Behold," he says, "I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." God will not cast away his people. He can no more forget them than a mother could forget a child that she is nursing. Now, there's always an exception among the children of men. And in our context of our verse, we find a mother may forget, but God says, "I won't. I will never forget." Oh, beloved, this is a text that speaks to the heart, for it speaks comfortably concerning us. He says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." Now, what I want to do this morning, I want to look at every word in the text, just taking them one at a time. We, I'm afraid, have a tendency to rush through some of these great texts in the Bible. Notice the first word. It is "behold." Behold. It's a word of wonder. It's like a billboard that God has put up. And he says, "Behold, take a look." And that word "behold" is intended to excite us. Here's something to see. It's like if I'm studying and my wife calls me from the basement, "Come up here, quick. There's something I want you to see before it moves. Before it flies away, if there's a special bird on the bird feeder or something like this." It's a word that excites us. Now, beloved, heaven and earth may well be excited that in the hands of the Creator of the heavens and the earth are graven the names of sinners. But that's what we were. We're lost and sinners in the sight of a holy God. But concerning those who have believed, those who have come to Christ and have received the salvation that's in him, he says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." You know, beloved, we read about the seven wonders of the ancient world, and we read about the seven wonders of the natural wonders of the world. But, beloved, here's the wonder of the seventh heaven, that engraved in the palms of the hands of the eternal God are the very names of sinners whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, this word "behold" here is a word that stands in contrast to the sour lamentation of the children of Israel of verse 14. God had said all these wondrous things in this chapel, or in this chapter, but in verse 14, Zion had something to say. And this is what Zion, the nation of Israel, is saying today. But Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me." No child of God can ever say that. God says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." How amazed is the divine mind at the unbelief of man. God says, "How can I forget thee? I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." What a word is that word, "behold." Notice the next word. "Behold, I. And the I there is none other than the divine artist. He is the one. It is none other than God himself, who has engraven our names upon the palms of his hand as a memorial forever. Now, beloved, if my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, it is because of divine grace that it is there. Divine grace placed it there. We sing that occasionally in the hymn. 'Twas grace that wrote my name in life's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb who all my sorrows took. Grace taught my soul to pray and made mine eyes o'erflow. 'Tis grace that kept me to this day and will not let me go. Grace, grace, grace. Now, if the Lord has done it, he says, behold, I, God is speaking, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. If God has done it, it is done. And I'll tell you, make no mistake about it, it's there. Now, when God says, behold, I have graven thee, there is no crossing out of that which has been done by God. Furthermore, there's no blotting out of that which the eternal God has decreed. He says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Now, when I read the eighth psalm, Psalm 8, my daughter, she, with a needle and thread, she made something, the writing of Psalm 8, and I have it in a frame. And I look at it every time I'm sitting at the table to eat. It says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. Oh, beloved, get this in your mind. Behold, I have graven thee in the palms of my hands. When God with his fingers formed the universe, our names were written in the palm of that hand. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? But now notice the third word. Behold, I have. Oh, I love this. It is not I will. He isn't I'm going to do it. But it is a thing of the past. And I ask a question this morning. How far back in the past? How far back in the past? We don't need to even go there. We don't even need to think about it. For the Word of God says, from everlasting to everlasting, and from everlasting to everlasting, thou art the same. God says, I am the immutable God. I am the God who changes not. And your name is written in my hand. My name from the palms of his hands, eternity will not erase. Behold, I have. Now the next word, graven. That word, graven. In other words, he doesn't say, I've just stamped it on it. But he says, I have graven thee. And when we think of graven, we think of a graving tool or an engraving tool that digs deep and makes a gash and makes a mark. And where? In the palms of his hands. There's a little text in the prophecy of Zechariah. It's Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6. Israel in the day when God brings them back to himself in redeeming grace and in a glorious redemption, you have the question they're going to ask in Zechariah 13 verse 6. And the question is, where did you receive those wounds in your hands? And he shall answer unto them, those wherewith I was wounded in the house of my friends. Beloved, here we have the meaning of the term, I have graven thee in the palms of my hands. Those wounds in his hands speak of his redeemed people who are his and for whom he died. I have graven thee in the palms of my hands. Now, I know that that text in Zechariah 13 is speaking of Christ. For in the next verse, Zechariah quotes what is spoken of our Lord in Matthew 27. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered abroad. That's Zechariah 13 and verse 7. But now we come to the word, behold, I have graven. The next word is thee. Now I want you to grasp that word thee this morning. I have graven thee in the palms of my hands. Now it just doesn't mean my name. Well, it is that. And we sing Top Lady's hymn, my name from the palms of his hands, eternity will not erase. But that's not all. He says, I have graven thee. I have graven thee. Our person. Our image. Our case, whatever it may be. Our circumstances. Our sins. Our weaknesses. Our wants. Everything about us is right there. Not only our name, but the whole of us. I have graven thee in the palms of my hands. Think of it. The whole of my person. The omniscient God knows me better than I know myself. There isn't a word in my mind, in my tongue, but O Lord, thou knowest it altogether, the psalmist said in Psalm 139. You may say today, oh, I'm so weak and so feeble. I don't mean anything to God. Oh, he says, I've graven thee in the palms of my hands. How much do you mean to God? Oh, what a text. But now I'm going to take a few words here because we have to hurry on. Notice he not only says, behold, I have graven thee, but then he says, upon the palms of my hands. Here are two memorials. If you think of our blessed Lord, we're graven not only in the palm, but in the palms, plural, of his hands, the both hands. The saints of God are never forgotten. When you come to the judgment of the sheep and the goats in Matthew chapter 25, when you come to this judgment, then shall the king say to those on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, enter the kingdom prepared for you. And when I think of the right hand of the Savior, I think of the blessing of God. My name is in the palm of his hand. Then shall the king say to those on his left, depart from me, ye cursed. The left hand of justice. And I find that I can never depart because my name is in both hands. His right hand of blessing, his left hand of justice, because justice was satisfied for me on the cross on Calvary's hill. There is therefore none, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And those who hear the word of God and believe on him who sent him have everlasting life and will not come into judgment. And you see, beloved, our names as two memorials are in both his hands. The right hand of blessing, the left hand of justice. And we're united in Christ. And we can never be separated from him. And that brings us to not only the words of our text, but this speaks to our hearts of God's constant remembrance of his people. In the Song of Solomon, the bride says, set me as a seal upon thine heart, for love is stronger than death. Now the seal can be laid aside. You can mislay a seal, but I'll tell you, you can't mislay the hands. Here's something greater than the seal. I have graven thee upon the palms of our hands. This text tells me that God's remembrance of us is not intermittent. Now, our remembrance of him is. Oh, we remember him when we go to bed at night, when we get up in the morning at meal times, and if we're in a jam or something. But to a large extent, many of us live our lives and we don't remember him, but we're constantly before him. He can't see his hands without thinking of Philip. He can't see his hands without thinking of you, no matter what your name is. If you belong to him by divine grace, think of that. You think of the care of God. This is why when we intercede on behalf of others, God says, yes, I know them. They're mine. I love to answer your prayer. I care for them. My name from the palms of his hands. You see, no second person can ever be a rival for the affections of Christ. No second person. I wonder if God is going to choose someone else because my heart is often so cold and I am so indifferent to obeying his precepts. Oh no, my name from the palms of his hands. I have graven thee, he said, upon the palms of my hands. No second person can ever come between us. It often happens in life that a second person comes in and the love for the first vanishes. Oh, not here, beloved. Not here. Christ remains constant. He says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. More than that, God's remembrance is very practical. Everything God touches, everything that God does is a memorial of his people. When he created, when I consider thy heavens, the stars and the moon which thou hast ordained, by the work of it, the work of your fingers, when he did that, you see, it was for his people. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read a text like we have there in 1 Corinthians 1, I know it has reference to things that are now revealed by the Spirit. I know that, but I believe that it has a double fulfillment. That text says, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. The things that God has prepared. John 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And what God does, he does with his hands. And you see, his hands have before him his people. That's why Romans 8, and Galatians chapter 4 are so precious. It tells us that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. The whole of the universe is ours. And we can't imagine the wealth that belongs to the child of God, for we are joint heirs with him who is the heir of all things. It's all ours. That's why I never worry about the paltry things of this life. Whether we have it or whether we don't have it. For this reason, there's a day coming, I'm going to have it all. And all the redeemed are. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Behold, he says, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Now, this is an eternal remembrance of us. This is an eternal memorial. Why? His wounds are an everlasting memorial. In the breastplate of the high priest in Israel, the names of the children of Israel were engraved according to birth. They were all there. They were born upon his heart. They were born upon his shoulders. And we are engraved in his hands, his very hands. Now, this is a memorial most surprising. Behold. Why did God say that word? Why, because Zion doubted. I wonder this morning, do you doubt the love of God? Do you doubt the love of Christ? Do you doubt the care that he has for you? If God only knew my circumstances, he'd do something about it. This text of all texts of Scripture should cheer the people of God. And we should obey what Peter said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now there's a third thing that I'd like to leave you. Not only the words of the text, and not only the comfort and the continuing comfort of the text, but the fact that this text should excite us to obedience to God. It should excite us to obedience. This should cause us to leave all our cares behind. I have graven thee, he says, on the palms of my hands. The Lord's people never need to despair. If this text is not yours today, if you can't say with reality, I am his and he is mine, if this text isn't yours, your mouth should water after it. When I go out to feed my dog in the morning, I tell you there are times when the dog just drools over the food that's coming. And my friend, if you're here without Christ, and for those who know Him, God, the creator of the universe, He says, behold, I have graven thee in the palms of my hands. Your mouth should water after a relationship with Christ in order that He's yours. That's what David said, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Now, why did I say that? That your mouth should water after it? Well, the Bible says, covet earnestly the best gifts. And I don't know a gift like this. I'll never forget about the second or third time I ever went to the county prison in Lebanon, Pennsylvania for a service, and my good friend Russ Kingwick was going to preach. And he asked to sing a special song that day, have everybody sing it. And I think it's the second stanza that says this, was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will He refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. This is why, beloved, with a verse like this, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. This is written of God's redeemed people. Why not come to Christ this morning and know the reality of it in your own life? It would never satisfy me to know that my Father's name was engraved if mine weren't. It would never satisfy me to know that my wife's name is engraved if I wasn't sure mine was. I want to be sure. This of all things I want to be sure of. Because if I have this, everything else is going to fall into place throughout all eternity. Behold, he says, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. You see, this is what gives meaning to the text. Whosoever believeth on him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. Is the sweetness of this text yours today? Is it? Oh, may God bring you to the sweetness of that text. And you can know it by coming to Him today. Why not come? I think we should sing a hymn in closing today. 121 in our hymn books. We'll sing the first and last stanza. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Lord of glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and for contempt.